welcome to What's Next with Eric Wood, presented by TwinSpires, where we will inspire you to make your what's next in life your best yet by learning from high performers in a variety of industries. Our next guest is Dan Oliver, better known on social media to his millions of followers as Dano. Dan is the founder of Dano's Seasoning, which is a no-sugar, low-sodium seasoning that I use often to cook with, so I was excited to connect with Dan on this episode. Dan has an incredible story of perseverance where he found himself on the verge of losing Dano's just as it was gaining momentum as a company when the pandemic started, and how he pivoted to keep his dream alive. You will be inspired by his story and love his humility and candor. We cooked ribeyes and lobster tails after we recorded this episode, and you can check out those pictures on my Instagram at ewood70 or on at Dano's Seasoning on Instagram, TikTok, or on their YouTube channel. There are over 100,000 new podcasts being released each week, so it means the world to me that you spent your time tuning into this episode. Please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast so we can continue to make an impact. Enjoy. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, sir. Glad to be here.
Yeah, man, I'm fired up for this one. And for those out there, they just got to hear your intro, so now they're familiar with you. Why don't you tell them about where you're from and what kind of athlete you were growing up as a kid?
Well, I'm born and raised right here in Louisville, Kentucky. Being an athlete as a kid, I was raised with two older brothers, two older stepbrothers, three older stepsisters. So we were always competing.
Dang.
You know, I was always getting beat up on because they got years on me. And so I was always a super competitor. And, baseball, I made All-Stars every year. And then football, I was always, you know, one of the better athletes on the field, you know, played almost every position you could imagine. Because when I was younger, I was overweight, you know, in like the public or the private schools. So,
right.
So I couldn't be running back. I couldn't be quarterback. But there was one year that I got to play quarterback, and that was like my highlight year. Got like runner-up MVP of the league and stuff. So that was pretty cool, and I've always been a huge football fan. You know, grew up going to Bengals games. We always had season tickets, so always been a huge fan of football. Baseball kind of fell off for me, and, I did go to Trinity High School, which is the number one school for football in the state of Kentucky. I guess that could be controversial because it could be St. X.
No, but Trinity is for sure. Oh, right. Trinity is one of the best programs in the country. Now they travel around the entire country to go play teams, but keep going. Sorry.
But, yeah, so I played at Trinity, you know, freshman year. I actually started offense and defense. You could only play on the freshman squad freshman year at Trinity. So I did start strong safety and tight end. And then, going into sophomore year, I played tight end, started on the JV, and then junior year, I guess I kind of lost track because I always wanted to be the quarterback. They never really let me be the quarterback. I never really got my shot, and I guess I kind of started to be a bad boy, and, you know, I ended up quitting my junior year, which I regret, but maybe I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now had I continued to, you know, be defensive tackle, because that's where they moved me to, is defensive tackle. Being 6'2", 180 pounds, just didn't make sense.
Yeah, you're not built like a D-tackle. Like the ones I would go against, for sure.
I mean, I could hit hard. I wasn't scared of anybody, but, you know, it wasn't my position. And I don't know. I guess along your path, everything happens for a reason, and maybe, you know, God had intentions for me to make seasoning. So
yeah, no doubt about it. And now you get to be the quarterback of your own organization, though, and that is Dano's Seasoning, and you have millions of people following you on social media, but that wasn't the case that long ago, not that long ago. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your career journey that led you to this point here today.
Well, I can tell you, the whole football thing going all the way back to high school, it was always like a chip on my shoulder. I always had a chip on my shoulder about it. I never got my chance to be quarterback, and, you know, so I didn't go to college straight out of high school. I actually took a semester off. I thought I was going to be a professional pool player because I was awesome at pool. I mean, I played Jeanette Lee, the Black Widow, and I played a number three pool player in the world and almost beat him in a huge tournament. And then I got in a head-on collision, and the only thing it broke was this bone right here in my hand, and this finger was sticking out sideways, so it was like my bridge. So it was like, all right, there's God telling me you're not supposed to be a professional billiards player because you can't play pool anymore. Now your whole bridge hand is messed up, so you got to, you know. And then I was like, well, I'm going to go to school. and I'm going to apply myself, because I never really applied myself at Trinity, to be honest. I graduated 244 out of 246.
It's not bad.
Yeah, not bad, right? But so anyways, I really applied myself in college. I was on the dean's list for like 2.5 years, but, you know, I was talking to my brother, and he's like, man, I'm killing the insurance game. You know, come back here and sell insurance. I'm signing up 9 out of 10 people. Like, it's perfect for you. You know, and I'm like, yeah, why am I going to go to another 2 years of school and waste my time, waste my money when I can go home and start making money?
Right.
And so that's what I did. I came home, started as customer service and insurance, and then got my license. And really, it was the most competitive insurance business has ever been when I got into it. And I couldn't write 1 out of 10 because I couldn't save anybody money.
Mm.
People can say all you want about sell the service. If you can't save money, it's pretty hard to sell the policy. So I was like, well, I need to change. You know, I can't do the insurance. It's not making any money. And so I actually applied online, Career Builder or something like that, and I met with some engineers. And oddly enough, they were electronic engineers, and what they did was repair manufacturing equipment, whether it's like a CNC mill, you know, spindle drive, stuff like that, PLC cards, anything electronic in industrial wise they could fix. So ironically enough, when I was in the insurance business, every day when I would get home from work, I would watch that TV show called How It's Made.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I told him, like, man, like, y'all don't even understand. Like, I watch this stuff every day. I'm so fascinated by it. I can be your salesman. They're actually Ukrainian engineers, so what they needed was somebody that could communicate for them. So I got the job, worked for them for 5 years, and it was about the coolest job I could ever imagine, because I got to go out there and see how everything's made, whether it's a pencil or this plastic bottle, anything. And so that was an awesome job. When I lost that job, I just wanted to change the pace, and that's when I went into bartending.
Mm-hmm.
And the bartending was cool at first, you know. I actually got the job. There was no bartending or bar back job available, but I told the guy, I said, what about the kitchen? He's like, do you really want to cook in the kitchen? I was like, well, I love to cook. It's my passion. And so I took the job, and I just worked my way up. In 6 months, I became a bartender. But when I was in the kitchen, I would make specials, and I would actually use my seasoning, but never for a second thought it would be called Dano's and an actual product.
Right.
And I've always had the mindset of, like, you know, I've always had these ideas. I got tons of ideas, but they all take millions of dollars. When you don't have millions of dollars, you can't just jump into an idea. And, you know, I did waste probably $3,000-$4,000 of my hard-earned money working on a prototype for a disposable toothbrush, believe it or not. But it was all money well spent. Everything that I've done through all of my little jobs, and I've also done door-to-door sales too, like kind of in between a few things, and I was pretty good at door-to-door. So the bartending was cool for 2 years, making great money. You know, to me, when I can walk at home with $500 in cash a night, for most people, I mean, that's why there's so
many. That's great money.
Yeah, there's so many bartenders out there that have master's degrees and whatnot, but they bartend because they can make more money and have more freedom than a real job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I enjoyed it for 2 years. And then after that, I'm just like, I got to get out of here. I can't deal with the late nights. I need a real schedule. I want to get back to the real world, but I don't want to work for somebody, you know? And I've always had these great ideas. No matter who I'm working for, I'm like, hey, here's an idea to get more business, you know, get more sales like this. But, like, nobody would ever listen to me. I'm not the business owner. You know what I mean? I was just a guy with good ideas, but nobody listened. And it was one day, you know, as I was bartending, I would bring in chicken, and people were already asking for, hey, bring me some of that. How'd you make it? And I'm like, oh, throw these spices together, and that's basically it. And then it was one day I brought in a whole chicken. There's one guy sitting at the bar, and I said, man, you hungry? You want some of this chicken? He's like, yeah. And I gave him some, and he took a bite, and he looked at me, and he said, why aren't you selling this? This is the best chicken I've ever had in my life. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was my aha moment. Not everybody gets to have that.
Yep.
And I was like, I'll call it Dano's. And it was just like, you know, it hit me like a ton of bricks, man. It was like, this is going to be in every household across the country. Like, the name's great. The flavor, nobody has it. Like, it's unlike any other seasoning on the market. And so that's when, you know, this was like, I think, right, January 2015. Started the business in April 13th, 2015. because I was like, well, I'm going to start a business. Didn't have a product to sell.
Right.
When that year's taxes came up, I'm like, oh, I got to pay $175 just because I owned a business and didn't sell anything. You know what I mean? But I did it. Like, I've heard Mark Cuban. He says, you know what? If you have an idea to start a business, just start the business and you'll figure it out. And so that's basically what I did. Didn't realize that's what I was doing, but that's what I did. I just started the business and then started putting the pieces of the puzzle together. You know, paid a guy in the kitchen $100 to draw my little logo. Found another friend. Well, he was like a friend of a friend. Didn't really know him at the time. Somebody's like, oh, yeah, he's really good at graphic artist. And so got this guy to help me with my graphic artist or my artwork. And things just kind of started to be put in place.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I hear about like entrepreneurial stories is it's like if you just take the time and take the effort to do it, the pieces of the puzzle will come into place. Just do it. Things are really not that hard. You just have to do it.
No doubt.
If you don't do it, it doesn't happen.
And there's so much gold in there. And it's amazing in how many people's stories, they have that aha moment that comes from someone speaking confidence into them. And it's the power of words. It's one person can make a difference in anybody's life by using their words. Mm-hmm. And that person gave you that confidence to be able to go off and start this brand. I love that you mentioned that's 2015. We're recording this in 2021. There's so many people out there that would say, man, Dano's this overnight success. He's got a million plus followers on TikTok, and that helps him make, you know, six figures of revenue now and all this. And they see it as a, you know, there's no overnight successes out there. Right. But when you have a dream, stick with it. And when you have that dream, when you have that vision, it'll get you through those tough times, that grind, when you have that vision out there. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that grind. I'm fascinated by this part of the story that you started off selling this at trade shows.
Yeah.
Talk about that, those times.
Started out when I had my original product. This is not the original packaging. It was one before that, and I had it for about 6 months. And I would go to the farmer's market. And I was always super successful selling it, but I was like, oh, you know, some people aren't buying it because it says sugar in it, because it had like a grain of sugar in it. And I was like, well, I got to take that out. I need to make this label look more professional, not so much farmer's market-ish, and make it have the right price point, not $8. I want to spend like $5, $6 on a seasoning, not $8 or $9. You know what I mean? So I had to get everything right.
And you had that experience from your prior sales job. So all those times of these jobs that, you know, it didn't work out or whatever it may be, it all prepped you for this part of the story.
Absolutely. I knew exactly what I needed to do with the new label and whatnot. And here's the funny thing about it, too, is when I made the new label, we were getting ready to send approval to print. Well, if you look at my label now, it says D-A-N and then hyphen O.
Mm-hmm.
There didn't used to be a hyphen. It was just D-A-N-O-S, apostrophe S. Well, I was talking to a consultant on the phone. And when we were getting off the phone, he said, yeah, you're Dano's or Dono's or something. And I'm like, hold on. I'm like, he's not reading it right. And I'm paying this guy money. And I'm like, he's not reading it right. And so I literally grabbed a bottle and I walked out and I walked to the store and I asked like 10 random strangers. I'm like, I'm going to ask 20 random strangers. It only took me like four because all the first four people I asked all didn't see it as Dano's.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, got to change that. Like, I'm so glad that I did that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, but back to the you know, the flea, the trade shows. Once I had, you know, this was June 1st, 2017. Once I had my packaging and I was like, all right, now it's time to, you know, I had already put so much effort and figuring out the low sodium and all natural, which that was a gift. I did not design this to be low sodium and all natural, no sugar. It was literally, it just happened when I started to look at things and I'm like, wow, this is like, not only is it different, but it's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It can change things. It can change people's lives for diabetics, high blood pressure, and all that. You know what I mean? And but so anyways, June 1st, 2017 is when I had the new packaging, and it was like, all right, now it's go time. And, you know, my dad, he's always like, you need to go do a flea market. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to. It's on my plate, but I'm just waiting until I get everything ready.
Yep.
And so I went and did that, my one flea market out at the fairgrounds, and they're really cheap to get into. So anybody trying to start a food product business, go flea markets, because you can get a booth for like $130. You get 3 days of selling, and if you can't sell it there, maybe look at doing something different.
Right.
Because there's so many people and they're just walking by, you know what I mean? You just offer them a sample and you educate them on the product, build the value, and sell the product. And but anyways, when I did my first flea market, I was hoping to do like $1,500 or $2,000. You know, when I used to do the farmers markets, it would be like one day for like 4 hours, and I would sell anywhere from $200 to $400. So I was like, okay, well, if I can do a 3-day flea market and do like $1,500, $2,000, I might have something. And the first flea market I did like $3,200. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's good money.
This is it. I was like, this is it. This is how I'm going to make Danos survive as a business, because I'm not doing it online. You know, I had a rinky-dink website where I'd get one or two orders a day. You're not going to survive like that. You know, I was still bartending at the time. But once I found out that these flea markets was it, I backed out of, like, my side gig bartending jobs. And I'm like, I can do this full time.
And that's
like,
your all-in moment.
That, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had, I want to say, maybe 3 or 4, like, moments.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. You know, one moment was like when Danos was in my head and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, that's my aha moment. And another moment was like, okay, flea markets is how I'm really going to take this to the next level. Well, my very next show was the state fair, which was 9 days or 10 days in a row, 12-hour days. And I did like $9,000. And I'm like, all right, I'm really on to something.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so I just kept booking like any sort of like little festival in some town. And, you know, I started traveling. I went to one show in Knoxville. It wasn't super successful, but it was still profitable. And I just knew that that's what I had to do. You know, when we go back to the beginning where it's like, if you have the dream and you just chase it, like the pieces of the puzzle will fall into place. And shortly thereafter, that's when Toothpick Timmy came along.
Yep.
So he got his name Toothpick because we used to sample on chicken, and when we would cut it up, we'd stick it with a toothpick and give it out on a sample on a toothpick.
It's not his stature.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But so one day I was like, oh, yeah, if we could just get chicken sticking Toothpick Timmy here, you know, to get you a sample, and it just stuck. It stuck. But that's when we really, you know, that's when he's like, dude, anytime – I'll go with you. And he did. Like every time I called him and I was like, you ready to go to Pennsylvania? You ready to go to Atlanta? Didn't matter where we were going. You know, he went. And so hats off to him, because now I don't know how many people would do that. And, you know, what would I, you know, it helped me tremendously to get the business off the ground, because you can't really go do a show, these big shows like the hunting shows with thousands of people walking by. There's no way I can do it by myself. No way. It's impossible.
And I love that you honored him the way you just did. That'll mean so much to him. And for all you CEOs out there, David Novak came on the podcast, former CEO of Yum Brands, and he always talks about recognizing people. And that's all people want, is to be recognized. I love how you do that. And you always do it through your social media with Toothpick Timmy. But so you go to these trade shows, you're going to these festivals, whatever it may be. Now you build it up to 6 figures of revenue. So you're truly onto something. And like so many people, 2020 hits. And boom, now we have a pandemic where there's no trade shows. You know, your website isn't what you said you wanted it to be. You don't have the social media presence. So many people got rocked by COVID. You can go one of two different directions, and you chose to keep the pedal down and keep growing Danos. What did you do in those moments to pivot during that time?
We were all the way up in Michigan when we got notified that this show was being canceled. We were an hour away. We were into a 9-hour trip, an hour away. We got notification. We went to the, you know, little bar at the Holiday Inn, and I got a Corona, and I took a picture, and I posted it on my Facebook, and I was like, look like it's, and it said, like, looks like it's time for Plan B. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because with no shows, that means no revenue for Danos. And from 2016 to 17 to 18 to 19, I was doubling in revenue. You know, we're talking, you know, jumping from 60 to 120 to 120 to 240. I mean, it's not millions of dollars, but it's growing.
Yes.
But that's how I was doing it. It was and we were getting into bigger and bigger and bigger trade shows. But when that was taken away, that's when I held up the bottle of Corona and I said, it's time for Plan B. And Plan B was literally, like, I've been listening to Gary V and, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yep.
And he was like, you know, if you got a business right now and you're not on TikTok, like, you're dropping the ball. And I was like, well, that's what I got to do. And so it probably took, I don't know, 2-3 weeks of me making TikToks. And then it kind of started to catch on. And, like, you know, I was like, well, if I can do $200 in sales a day, I might survive this thing. Mm. And you know, all of a sudden I posted one crab cake video that offended everybody in Maryland because I didn't use Obey and I pan-seared it. I wasn't broiled. And so, I got everybody all excited, but guess what? It moved the needle. And I'm like, oh, there's $600 in sales in a day. Like, oh, like that's a jump. And then I just kept posting. Then I met with the marketing company, Crosby Interactive, and I was like, you know, build me a website. And, you know, our initial agreement was that they were going to build a website and do all this marketing and, you know, grab the low-hanging fruit, you know, talking about, like, the people that are just ready to buy. We just need to contact them on Facebook or something and, you know, the right marketing strategy. And so we made a little agreement, but then shortly thereafter, you know, sales are just going better and better and better, and we started talking about partnership. And now, you know, I'm a partner, part owner in Crosby Interactive is where Crosby Interactive, Phil Crosby, he's helping me take Danos to the next level. So it was another one of those things where the, you know, I'd talked to several marketing companies and just the way Phil was and Andrew sitting right here next to us, the way he was, it just felt like it was like, all right, I've talked to several marketing companies and these are my guys. Like, you know, they get it. And we started working together and things started just growing. And now we got a warehouse and we're looking to get a new warehouse and actually maybe our own production and, you know, just keeping your pedal to the metal. And, you know, like I said, when you have that dream and you just keep doing things, the pieces of the puzzle will come into place.
Absolutely. And what advice would you specifically have for people out there, especially during this time, because so many people are at a time of transition right now because of COVID in their job. And a lot of people probably have their disposable toothbrush idea, their seasoning idea. And part of it's just going out there and trying. Yeah. What advice would you have for those people to take that leap of faith and pursue what you're passionate about?
I'll tell you what, for people that have big ideas like, you know, disposable toothbrush or something that needs like a lot of money behind it, like a patent and, you know, just a lot of money behind it and they don't have the money, but they have this great idea. They need to read a book called One Simple Idea. It's all about licensing. There's so many people that license products for just having an idea.
Yeah.
And it literally costs you about $300-$400 to go pitch it to a large corporation. So if you're sitting there and you're like, you have this $1 million idea, but you don't have $1 million, but you have an idea, go buy that book and read that book and it'll tell you how to license it. And it's really not that complicated. It's just, they're either going to take it or they're not, but it's a way to, you can do a provisional patent and then you can go present that idea to one of these large corporations. Like if you had a new idea for a water bottle.
Yep.
You just tell them the idea and they either take it or they don't. And if they make it, you get royalties. So for somebody that has that type of product, like $1 million idea, like it takes millions to do it, go license it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard. But for somebody with a food product like mine, and that's another reason that, like, you know, I told you I had all these ideas, but they all took a lot of money. Well, when Dano's hit me, I'm like, oh, this is the best of everything. It's the best seasoning out there. It's got a great marketing name. And then I started to figure out like Dan Good and Dan-O-Mite and Dan-tastic and all that. So it just got better and better. And then just being a food product, it had $8,000 when I started the business.
Mm-hmm.
$8,000. And I just kept robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, hey, Dad, can I borrow $500? Hey, Mom, can I borrow $1,000? Like, I'll have it to you in 2 days. You know what I mean? Just a little bit. But it's all I needed just to get to that next level so I could run my next batch of production. You know, calling my buddy, hey, let me borrow $1,000. You know, I'll give it right back. And I always did. So it was just a food product. I actually got a 13-minute video on my YouTube. It tells people if you want to start a food product business, whether it's a jam, a jelly, a hot sauce, seasoning, this is how you do it. This is how I did. So I couldn't get anybody's help when I wanted to start mine. Like I reached out to all these seasoning companies. Nobody wanted to help me. There's enough seasonings out there to go around.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can have a little bit of everything, you know? So I'm one that I love to help people. I did it the hard way, and I love to be able to give people that information to maybe change their lives. You know what I mean? It's not something I'm trying to be like, oh, you want to be my competition? Like, I'm not helping you. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And get that team around you. Go do the licensing deal if it's too big for you to go after. And if it's not, bootstrap it like Dan did and build you something that you could be truly passionate about. Then you're not working on a day-to-day basis. You're sitting out back at my house on a Sunday, and we're working right now technically, but you get to do stuff like this for a living, and I'm grateful for that. You mentioned social media, and you mentioned the Gary V influence in your life, and I think so many people out there have been influenced by Gary V and the work that he's done. He's absolutely incredible. But what advice would you have for those out there, whether it's them personally or for their small business and growing their social media?
Best thing I ever did was invest in the marketing company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always knew that it was marketing, 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 like real estate's like location, location, location. Well, small business is marketing, marketing, marketing. And that was the best decision I ever made, was to join with the marketing company, because, you know, they had an interest,
mm-hmm.
you know, me being like, all right, well, we're going to make a partnership out of this. So you're not just treating me. I get more love because we made a partnership.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying marketing companies are not going to go over the top for you, but the fact that, you know, we made a partnership, it was just the best thing ever. It's just, you know, we're all, everybody on the team is all about some Danos.
Yeah. So your advice would be, if your specialty, if your expertise is not social media, hire it out
and let
the pros do it. Yeah. I always say, I don't invest my own money. I'm not a financial advisor. I pay people to do that. Pay people to grow your social media, make an investment in that portion, because social media can drive sales, especially products like this. One more before the recurring questions. What separates Danos from the rest of the spices, other than, you know, for me personally, I could put a face to the product.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, what separates Danos from the competition?
Well, when you want to talk about the actual ingredients in the product itself, and take me out of the picture, mm-hmm. Danos doesn't exist. If it's just a product on the table, when you try it, I mean, when you look at it, it's not just ground like salt mm-hmm. and sugar like most seasonings are. And it's only 50 milligrams of sodium. So, like, my salt content's, like, way down here. If people could see right now, like,
yeah,
it's not much salt. But I use real sea salt, so I still get that good salt flavor, but it's never too much. That's also why when people watch me and I'm seasoning a whole bunch, they're like, oh, it's way too much. It's like, well, it's probably because you're used to the salt-filled stuff,
mm-hmm.
not real flavor. And that's what makes it special. It's real ingredients, real sea salt, no sugar, so it's good for the keto diet and diabetics. And look, you got high blood pressure, well, you can still have a little flavor. It's never going to be too salty. So that's the beautiful thing of Danos, is the fact that it's low. It's seasoning the way it should be made.
Yep.
And that's the thing that really hit me years ago, is I'm like, why isn't there products out there like at the grocery store? Like, there's products like Danos, not that taste like it, but products that like hit all the same features, low sodium, all natural, good for any diet. But they're not going after the retail, is to where, like, my vision was to change the world, not just like get rich selling seasoning. It was like change the world, like give the world something that needs in grocery stores.
Yep.
And that's what we're doing. That's what our drive is. That's why I went to this smaller bottle, so it made sense in retail, because a lot of the other products you'll see that are similar to Danos, they're not really in retail because they sell them for super expensive. So it was very important to me to have all the margins correct and, you know, do all the work in the beginning to get that product that can be sold in retail that's healthy for everybody and that can change the world.
Yeah, and it's a heck of a product, and we'll plug it again at the end of the show, but you have to go out there. You have to try it. They have a regular and a spicy. I like them both. I like spicy food, but I like the regular stuff. I like it on popcorn. Normal stuff that you wouldn't think to put a seasoning on, but because it's not overpowering, it's not salty, I'm not adding sugar, I'm just adding flavor, I'll put it on almost anything. All right, let's knock out some recurring questions, because we are firing up an awesome meal after this. Wagyu tri-tips, we're doing tomahawks, we're doing lobster tails, and you'll be able to see that on both of our social media. So whenever you listen to this episode, go back and you can put some pictures to this podcast and some visual. First recurring question, what's your favorite book?
I don't read a lot. I'm going to have to say it's probably, I learned a lot from The One Simple Idea about licensing,
because mm-hmm.
I was always so interested in that. And like, I'm an educational person, I don't read stories.
Right.
My mind won't stay in it.
Like, I'm the same way.
I'm reading documentary. You know, I'm reading facts. And I would say One Simple Idea.
Good deal. What role does your faith play in your life?
That's a good question. I was raised super Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Church, you know, my mom used to go to church almost every day. I used to pray the rosary. And so I have this inner faith within me, and I'm always telling myself, I need to get back in church. I need to get back in church. Like, I have this inner faith and this belief, and everything's great. But right now, you know, I say, God gave me this recipe. God mm-hmm. gave me the name Dano. Like, this is all happening for a reason. I always felt that way since I was a kid.
Yeah.
So that's where the faith is. Faith is just, it's in my soul, you know?
Yeah, and even at the beginning of the podcast, you said, you know, God took this away from me so I could do this. Or, right. You know, you mentioned God a couple times throughout the podcast. What was your first car?
It was a Toyota Camry XLE.
What year?
1993, I want to say. Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe it was a 1990, because I was, yeah, it couldn't have been a 93. Had been like a 90, because I was driving it in by 1990, like 8. So it had been like a 91 or something.
And you guys can't see it, but, you know, we're recording this in my backyard. He drove over earlier, and he pulls up in a 2006 pickup truck, which, you know, I'm all about. I love it. But when Dano's continues to grow and blows up, I will never let him get rid of this 15-year-old pickup truck that's yeah. got – hundreds of thousands of miles on it from driving to trade shows. I will never let him get rid of that. That is going to be a staple of Dano's. Who's the most famous person in your phone?
Most famous person in my phone? Might be you.
That's not true. What's your favorite restaurant? And this will hold a lot of weight coming from you.
Man. I'm going to have to go with Valari.
Yeah, Valari, solid. Yeah. And Valari has the Dano's scallops there.
That's right. That's right.
Chef Josh does. Chef Josh will be a future podcast guest. This guy, top chef champion, you know, great cook, phenomenal person. Last one for me. What's next for Dan Oliver? What's your ultimate goal with Dano's? What's your dream in all of this?
People ask me that all the time, and they're like, well, you know, you're going to sell your business when somebody offers you $10 million. And it's like, you know, me and my partner, we were talking the other day, and it's like, I have no interest in that. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be Dano. I'm supposed to be changing the world with this product and, you know, educating people and coming out with new products that are always going to be like products the way they should be made, not just about big corporations just putting a product out there to make money. You know, it's about like giving you real flavor and like ingredients and recipes that like I believe in
mm-hmm.
and that our team believes in, and just doing the damn thing, changing the world.
Doing the damn thing.
Yeah.
Man, I've thoroughly enjoyed this, and I said this in the intro, but this is a story that I feel like so many people out there can benefit from. You know, so many people got rocked during the quarantine. So many people are in their mid-30s with a job, and I'm not undermining the bartending profession. I'm not undermining being waitress, but it's not ultimately what you want to do. But in a time in your life, no matter where you're at, you can still go fulfill your dreams. And I don't know when exactly that moment's coming, but you mentioned a few of those moments. Those moments are coming for each and every one of you if you're willing to put in the work after God puts the right people or things in place for you. And so I just knew that this would be an awesome story. It's an encouraging story, and it's one that you say you want to change the world. You're going to change the world through telling your story and inspiring people to go chase dreams, and you're going to change families. You're going to change trajectories of family trees for people that are going to create generational wealth for them. I love the story. Where can people find out more about you?
Definitely danoseasoning.com. With Dano Seasoning at that hash, what do they call it? The plug or the at Dano Seasoning.
Yep.
That's our, what do they call it, Drew? Handle.
This is why we have Andrew sitting right. here. This is why Andrew has a place in both of our lives.
That's right. So that Dano Seasoning is the handle on basically all social media. I mean, we're on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, huge on TikTok, and our YouTube channel has got over 100,000 subscribers now.
Yeah. So go give them a follow. Go check out the website. It's all incredibly done. Get the product. And when I tell you to follow them on website or follow them on social media, you will laugh. You'll find new recipes. You'll be inspired. You will enjoy. He's a great follower, and that's why he has hundreds of thousands of followers across all platforms. Dan, I can't thank you enough for your time, and I'm fired up about kicking back today, fired up this grill. Go check out the content again on social media.
Heck yeah. Thank you, Sarah Bean. It's awesome.